Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Almas Podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Love. We have an incredible guest with us today. His name is Isaac. I will let him introduce himself. But as I was saying to Isaac, I'm kind of in the zone here because I did have a previous conversation just a little earlier today. And so I'm hoping to keep that momentum going. I'm excited to see where this conversation takes us. Without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Isaac.
Thanks for having me. My name is Isaac Asangwa, aka Easel Dream Chaser. I am from Rwanda, and I've been living in Vancouver for the past 7 years because I moved here in 2014. So yeah, I am a dancer slash choreographer, and I run a business called Afrobeat Dance Van.
Nice. That's awesome. I definitely have more questions about all of that, but let's start with the name Easel Dream Chaser. What's the story there?
I had a dream. So yeah, I had a dream when I was young to basically make a career out of dance. Because growing up as an African kid, dance was basically perceived as something that we just do for fun. Mm-hmm. Someone get married with dance. Someone is celebrating something with dance. It wasn't like an art form where you can make money or a living out of it. And I took it as a challenge for myself as an African person to actually make that a career or source of an income or something that I could live from, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was the dream. And with that, my name is Isaac, so the shortest Isaac is Izo, and dream chasing. So it's me, dream chasing.
Right on. I love it. You're the dream chaser. Yeah. You're Izo the dream chaser. I love it. That's incredible. Okay, so how long ago was this? Like, at what point in your life did you decide to pursue dance as a livelihood?
I was probably 14. And before that, I was playing soccer, you know, as a kid in Africa. All boys grow up playing soccer. That's the sport that we all used to play. And the way I used to play soccer was different than other kids. And let's say they would just play because there is a game, right? Mm-hmm. Or you just wake up, you see your friend with the ball, you play. I used to play religiously. Like, I would wake up in the morning, grab my ball, go to the ground, play nonstop by myself, learn how to shoot, how to dribble, how to pass, basically sit down, watch videos, other people, Zidane, Ronaldo, Romario, all those famous and good athlete soccer player, play their game and start to learn from them. So yeah, I when I'm doing something, I get obsessed. Mm-hmm. I don't just do something because I want to do it. I just want to be really good at it. Have all the fine details of that thing that I'm doing to be like, yeah, I am doing it. So yeah, and like I just said, I used to watch them. So one day I went to a YouTube watching, basically, Ronaldinho was very famous that day. He was dribbling people and I wanted to see how he does his thing. I remember back home we used to have what we called internet cafe. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Cafe internet. So I went to a cafe internet, sat there with my 100 for 15 minutes, paid it, got those 15 minutes. And you know how the internet used to be slow in Africa.
Yeah.
So you pay for 15 minutes and just watch a video for 5 minutes just because it was so slow. So yeah, when I load the video, just waiting for it to finish. And you know how a YouTube video, when they finish, another one just play itself randomly. Yeah. And this dancer called Salah is from France. This competition called Juste Debout, where they basically, it's all-star freestyle battle. And they just started. I was about to turn it off and I was like, let me see what's happening here. This guy danced and I remember feeling something that I've never felt watching Ronaldinho, Zidane, Ronaldo play.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I want to try this. So yeah, for the past few other days, I would just come and watch Salah just come and watch these people, the competition, watch how they dance. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a dancer. Mm-hmm. And I want to make the best out of this thing. Mm-hmm. And I start dancing. That's how I started.
That's amazing. That's such an awesome story. That you were just sitting at an internet cafe watching Ronaldinho like dribble or play soccer or whatever. And then the next video coincidentally is dancing. And you felt something. You felt something that was different. Different enough that you decided, oh, there's something here. There's something.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. And then all of those years later, now you run a dance company, you teach dancing, which is just absolutely incredible. Like, well, first of all, that must have taken some time to get to that point. What was that journey like for you?
It was quite a journey, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Africa, there's no dance studio, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I tried to basically get around and be around people that dances, and the way they dance is not how I wanted to dance. Mm-hmm. So they will just dance because they have a performance. Because back then, and those real performance was like a competition that the government will put together, or just like a end of the year show at a school or college. Mm-hmm. They would just invite an outside dance group to come just entertain the student before they go home. And that's when they'll start like to train, put up a choreography, and go perform. But for me, like I told you, I get obsessed when I'm into something. I wanted to dance every day, right? I grab a speaker and go in the room and just dance and dance and dance. And I'll call them, yo, let's dance. They're like, what are we dancing for? There's nothing happening. I'm like, we're training. They're like, what are we training for? I'm like, to be good. They're like, we're good. Have you seen us? This is the last time we performed. People are crazy. I'm like, yeah, but we can be better. They're like, now we're good. So I started my own group where we basically can practice every day. And they were a kid, they didn't understand what we're doing. And to motivate them, to basically make them understand that we need to basically practice every day, even though there's no show, I started doing some concept videos. So like, hey, we're training to shoot a video, yeah? This is what we're doing for.
Hilarious.
So that they can get along with it, right?
Yeah.
So and I will see other people, or we'll go on YouTube and watch other people do concept videos. They're like, huh, that's the thing you can use to, if there's no competition, you can train and shoot a video. And you never know when the next show is coming. We have that choreography already. Yeah, we add a little tweak and it become a performance, right? And that's how we started. And because we didn't have a studio and all kind of stuff, we used to use a church. You know how the church, they had like a youth group.
Yeah.
And then they had this dance, you know, church-related dance. So I went there, made them believe that we're going to be doing that. And we had to do that on a Sunday. We'll come just perform the gospel music. But when they're not looking at us, we're doing our own stuff. And that was the thing. And it went really well. And there was this competition then that came to Rwanda. These people from Uganda that were doing like a talent show. And we went there, we blew their mind. They flew us to Uganda. We had to compete on the East African level. And we won the competition.
Nice.
Because we did things differently. We were training every day. We had performance and performance and performance. And I was look at them, like try to create something on the spot. And we're like, we've been training all years and with nothing to do. This is the benefit of it. So yeah, we came back around with the prizes, and then it was a really good feeling. And like I told you again, I'm really obsessed when I do something, and I look on how to basically go from another level, from that East African level to an international level. And I figured I need to move. I need to go to LA. That's where the dance is. And I tried to apply for a visa to go to the state. It didn't work out. And that's how I ended up in Vancouver, actually. I came to Vancouver while I was trying to get to LA. And my attempt to get to LA got me to Vancouver. And I was like, I'm going to stay here for a while, see how life is, make a little money, and move to LA. That's where the dream is taking me. And I came to realize that, oh, hold on. There's something here in Vancouver. There's nothing in Vancouver. Because for me, Vancouver looked like Rwanda. Where there's nothing, everything is starting to build. Right? You can create something. Because no one is established. Mm-hmm. If I go to LA, everyone established, it's going to be hard for me to break through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to stay in Vancouver and build something because no one has built it before and it's going to be successful. And that's why I decided to stay here.
Wow, incredible. What an incredible story. I have to say, you must be very resilient and resourceful because throughout these like moments that you're talking about, you came up with an idea to solve a problem. Like the first example, I think, was, okay, people don't really want to practice every day. You know, how do I get them to want to do this? So then you came up, let's do a concept video. And now everybody has a reason to do it. Now everybody's motivated. That's awesome. That's a very useful skill to get people to be engaged in something.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, cool. So that was the journey towards sort of where you are now with dance. What about if we kind of step back a little bit? Let's talk about your journey in life as a person. You know, becoming the person that you are today. What are some things that really defined you?
If I could describe myself in three words, I'll say obsessed. And I've been saying that a lot. And I'm helpful. I like to help people. That is something that I've been doing my whole life. We the thing I was telling you about, the dance group, we call it Jabba Junior. And with that, we created a foundation called Jabba Junior Foundation, where, because after the genocide, you know, Rwanda with the genocide, we were basically, because we had people that, we after winning that competition, we became really famous in the country. And people liked us. They watched our videos. We would do practices and the room will be full like a concert. So we create something this like, if you want to watch our practice, you have to pay. It's like a concert, you have to pay. And we'll make a lot of money that way. And the people that will come were like, we can make something out of this. So let's create a foundation where we help people. So the people that comes, the money that they give us, we take it to some organization that is like Kufasha in Fubiza genocide, which means helping the genocide for survivor and and the widows. So yeah, not only they will bring money, they will also bring clothes, shoes, anything that can help, blankets, beds and stuff like that, because there's a lot of people that didn't have, people living on the street after the genocide, the country was destroyed. So yeah, we use that to create that foundation and we helped a lot of people. And I also, a dance school, you know, I don't know if, have you been, do you remember Rwanda a little bit?
No, I do not.
So there was a club in Nyamirambo called Club Rafiki. If I could describe it, like it's like a park. But the parks are so rare that you only have one in the whole area. So everyone goes to play there, right? So to basically attract the youth or the young people will just basically dance, attract them. When they come there, they give them other information they need in life, like creating your own stuff, like doing hair, building stuff, you know? Educate them about HIV, because that time HIV AIDS was a big thing. It was like COVID right now. So yeah. And last one, I said obsessed, helpful. And they also creative. I have this gift or this ability to create something out of nothing, to come up with these amazing ideas and create amazing stuff with people around me. And yeah, that's who I am in three words.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. That's very succinct. It seemed like you were ready with those three words.
No.
You were like, it seemed like you were pretty ready. You know exactly who you are. That's great. I have more questions, but
sure.
In terms of dance itself, what kinds of people do you find are attracted to, you know, learning dance, or what kinds of people come to you? And in addition to that, what are some of the challenges that you see other people experience when they're trying to get into dancing?
That's a very interesting question. Dance is a very different ball game. Like if I have a class today and I'm trying to basically analyze and see who I might target, who am I targeting? What's the audience let's say in a month, I do like a monthly evaluation. Mm-hmm. If I do a class today, I'm going to see a range of, let's say, from 25 to 45. Like established people that have jobs that go to that 9 to 5 p.m. job. And then when they get home, they're like, let me do something for myself. I just went there, worked for somebody. Let's do something that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Isaac's class, you know? Mm-hmm. And another day, you'll see parents with their kids like, hey, I want my kids to learn how to dance. Hey, Leah, the whole room is full of kids, mm-hmm. 8 to 12 years old. And another day I come in, there is this range of 16 to 25. Mm-hmm. There is this trend dance, and Isaac is teaching it. We want to know about it. So you see, I can't really tell. It mm-hmm. always changes, switches, mm-hmm. and transforms. It depends with the day, the environment, what is going on right now. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I teach Afrobeat dance, which is an African dance, right? And studying it, I was like, it is going to target more Black people, you know? They mm-hmm. left home and they want to dance. They're like, I want to dance a dance from back home, you know? Something that makes me feel like I am home, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And that was the idea when I created Afrobeat. But surprisingly, there's more white people mm-hmm. that comes through those doors than Black people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we're intrigued to know other cultures. Mm-hmm. We want to know about your story. Please teach us. Please tell us what's going on in the world. You know? Mm-hmm. And then with the whole Black Lives Matter, you know, the internet, TikTok, Instagram, the Guara Guara, and Beyonce doing a documentary about Black culture and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All suddenly, everyone is intrigued and want to know about Afrobeat and African dance in general. Mm-hmm. So there's no really a specific target. It's everyone and anyone.
Right on. It's everyone and everyone. Okay. So then the second part to that question was, what are some of the challenges that you notice people face when they get into dancing? Mm-hmm.
The challenge, I would just go back to how I started, right? Mm-hmm. So when I moved here, I couldn't just start, right? I could just start teaching dance or start something because no one knew me. Mm-hmm. So I had to go take class, get into the system, you know, meet people, connect, and expand. That's when I can start teaching, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to classes, meet studio owners, get to say hi, get them to know me, notice me, see me in class, how I teach, how I talk to people, how nice I can be on that kind of stuff, give them ideas, you know, to show them how creative I can be, you know, mm-hmm. innovative I can come. And then after 4 years of basically trying to basically establish myself, I'm like, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Let me start applying. Went home, wrote this really nice proposal. And I'm like, yeah, I already have friends that own studios. Send it to them. Mm-hmm. They're going to read it. They know me. They like me. It's going to work. And they didn't reach back to me.
I was expecting you to say that.
Surprisingly, they didn't reach back because I was like, hey, there's this dance from Africa. It's called Afrobeat. It's going to be huge. People are going to love it. People like to say that they like change, but people are scared of change. Mm-hmm. You know? They look at us as like, we have hip-hop. We have contemporary. We have ballet. We're good here. Why add something else that no one knows? Mm-hmm. There's no security here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they didn't reach out. And I was like, all right.
Now what?
I guess I have to do this on my own. Mm. I went down, ran to the studio, and just started. I didn't know what's going to happen. Because the mistake that I made is that I socialized more of the studio's owner than the student themselves. Mm-hmm. Because if I knew that's what's going to happen, I was actually going to, you know, talk to people in the class, you know, get to be friends with them. And then, you know, before I know, like, hey, I have a class, come in too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't do that. I just wanted to go to the studio, be there. Because I know if I'm in class, they do all the promo, the student is going to come anyway. Mm-hmm. So I started with no friends in the dance scene, like dancers, staff. and it was quite hard. But I work really, really hard. And 2 years in, the place was selling out.
Wow.
Selling out, and was pushing people away. And guess what? Studio owners started reaching out too.
Of course they did.
Isaac. I remember sending out something about Afrobeat.
Yeah.
Do you mind come in for like a little talk? Let's talk about this. Tell us more about this. And at that point, I was okay. I didn't need them anymore. You know, people were looking for me, not looking for those studios. They were looking for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I'll go teach, they're like, we're coming. Like I told you, I was just renting studio randomly.
Mm-hmm.
I would change location, hesitant to be like, hey, they're going to be confused and they're going to try to find me. Because you know, when you're just doing something for people, change their like schedule or program random, like, I'm not going to make an extra effort to try to find you. But they did find me, which showed me that they want me. Not the dance, not what I'm teaching. They just like who I am. Mm-hmm. Wherever I will go, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio saw through it. They're like, this guy, if we bring in our studio, these people are going to come too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they realize that studio don't go. They want, I don't need their promotion, because people will find me because they want to find me.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to stay as a free agent, as person who rents studio, teach class, people comes in, all the money comes to me, then the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Afrobeat came. And that's the little challenges we had in the beginning, is basically, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, for sure, in the beginning, because we started this with my girlfriend, which is my fiance right now, and we'll just go there on a Friday night, it will just be me and her. And we'll make the most out of it. We'll play music, just me and her, and I'll start training her, doing my homework on her, and I'll post a video, be like, hey, you wanna collect us? Please come through next time. Before you know it, 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, it's 4.
Wow. Yeah,
been lucky that way.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, throughout all of that, my sense is that there was a level of patience that you needed in order to persevere and keep going.
Because absolutely.
It does sound like there was a bit of time where you were working and you tried different things, like that 4-year period where you decided, you know, you're gonna learn, you're gonna build a network, you're gonna get connected, and then you're gonna start. And then when you started, you had to kind of shift and do things differently, and that took time, but you did it anyway. So I think patience is definitely, seems like it was a theme throughout the kind of work that you do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, first of all, you just mentioned your girlfriend, now your fiance. Let's talk about that. Congratulations. And yeah, let's talk about the proposal. What was that like?
Oh, man. You know, they're like rainbows and unicorns. I'm kidding. So yeah, I don't know. I am also hopelessly romantic. People say that. I am very, very cheesy. One of those people that will dress up in the same color just to post a picture and say how amazing we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of boyfriend boyfriend I am. So yeah, I really wanted to do something that she's going to look back and be like, wow, that was the moment. And like I told you, I'm creative.
Yeah.
I'm creative. So we spend more time in the studio, and I figured that the best way to do this is in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want this to look like, because if it's in the studio and we are dancing, this becomes more of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching proposal video where people dance, they do this whole, you know, flash move.
Yes, choreography. Yeah.
And I think that it takes something out of the occasion, because all this thing you're doing is for the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then this whole time I'm watching a flash mob for, let's say, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl is in the flame for just 1 minute.
Yeah.
I'm watching the dance, the boyfriend dance. Everything is on the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then the 1 minute, just the girlfriend. I would just want everything to be just her, even though it's in the studio, and that's why I didn't want to dance. Just wanted to make everything all about her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, balloons were there. Petals on the ground, shaping as a heart, were there.
Wow.
Candles, scents. And unfortunately, it was during the pandemic, so her friend didn't make
it. Couldn't have a lot of people there, yeah.
Yeah, but I made sure they were there. Mm-hmm. So we had a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
There were like a Zoom call. They were watching everything as it happens.
Oh my God. We brought them
backstage. We had cameras, hiding cameras and mics on her where they can feel and see what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was good because I had my phone on the Zoom, but I wasn't asleep. They could hear her, but I couldn't see her until she came into the room. It was magical.
So just to clarify, so you have the studio with petals and the shape of a heart. You have balloons. You have scents. You have all this stuff going on. So at this point, she's outside and she doesn't know that that's what she's walking into yet. Like, so she's just expecting like a dance recital. Is that what she's expecting?
So like I told you, I am very, very cheesy. So we have this because we basically met. We became official on March 20th,
mm-hmm.
right? That's when we became official boyfriend and girlfriend. So on March 20th, they always have this love anniversary thing that we do. We take pictures and stuff like that. So I was like, hey, babe, it's March 20th, but I want to do a pre-shoot. So on March 20th, you don't have to stress about shooting and everything. We just go for dinner and then post this picture on Instagram and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a pre-shoot, right? Find by dress or anything that makes you look nice, you know? And then we go for a photo shoot. So we are in the car driving for that photo shoot. She did her makeup. She looks, you know, ready for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
You know? Which is ready for the proposal, but, you know, ready for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And then the studio owners knew the deal. She was supposed to call me and be like, hey, I'm not at the studio at the moment. I have a client there, but the studio needs to be closed and I don't have the keys. I know you're close to the studio. Please run there. Close the studio for me, please.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the deal. So we're driving to the photo shoot. I make a little detour, go to the studio.
Yeah.
So I get to the studio, get out the car, get downstairs, get my ring, get mic'd and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I call her because she stayed in the car. Just there to close and come back. We go for sure. Like, hey, babe, hey, I forgot the keys in the car. Can you please bring them for me?
Mm-hmm.
So she came with the keys, thinking that she's bringing the keys, and everything was there. And that was the proposal.
Wow. Wow. That is quite the surprise. Quite the tricky surprise.
Yeah, I didn't want her to walk through looking this. I wanted to look, you know?
Yeah. That was
ready.
Yeah, that was smart, you know? You're doing a pre-shoot.
Yes,
get all dressed up for the pre-shoot, but actually it's your proposal. That's amazing. That's awesome.
And that was so hard for people to believe that. How is she looking ready for this? She knew. I was like, no, she didn't know. It was a surprise. Like, no, look at her. Look how she looks. She's ready. The makeup and everything. Like, yeah, just know that she didn't know.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is a good story to tell your kids if you ever plan to have some.
They have a video, story.
Exactly. You got, exactly. You can watch the video. Yeah. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. One of the things we had talked about in our previous conversation, you had mentioned that it's important to you to pass on the knowledge that you've acquired so far to help people, you know, to kind of like extend what you have forward to others, and that's important to you to make a difference and have an impact. Yeah, all that stuff. Let's talk about that. Tell us about that.
So like what you just said right there, it's like right now I was I took like 2 month break from teaching, but just because I realized that the class I'm teaching and my intention of what I want to teach people is not working. Because this is an African dance that goes with the culture, the way of life, right? It's a whole mm-hmm. being of individuals mm-hmm. in a continent that I'm trying to teach you in just 1 hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair. You pay your money to come dance and have fun. But I want to teach you more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show you videos, documentary. I want to tell you stories. I want one more. If mm-hmm. we do a class, a choreography of 30 seconds, 45 seconds, it has like a 30 grooves, 30 movements.
Mm-hmm.
And each movement has a story.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired by, created by, comes from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to go on each groove telling you all those stories. You're not going to finish. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have time to dance. You're not going to be able to sweat. It's going to be boring. It's going to feel like a lecture than a dance class. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I took the time to take a pause for these 2 months to run a progressive
mm-hmm.
where we dance for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's an hour of conditioning, which I show you how to basically prepare you physically to be able mm-hmm. to dance this style.
Mm-hmm.
Another hour, we go through the history of each move from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
You learn the names. Have a book with all the names, the people that created it, and where it's from. So there you already know all the countries from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like one of those people like, hey, you're from Africa? And they think Africa is a country, not a continent.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that idea, hey, do you have lion in your backyard? They've seen Johannesburg. They've seen Dar es Salaam through mm-hmm. the video that I showed them. They know that Africa has cities that developed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have big buildings. They have trains. They have computers.
Mm-hmm.
They create things. You know what I mean? They don't yeah. have lions in their backyard. It's not a safari.
yeah.
You know? It's a force. It's an economic force that everyone goes to steal stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
They know all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. you can't do that in that class, in my 1 hour and a half class.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the idea for basically to be able to make people understand that. So you don't have another last 1 hour where you get to dance now.
Mm-hmm.
And the dance is different. The way these people are dancing is very different from how I see them dance in my class.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, what do you call it? Proud. You know, when, mm-hmm. when you're doing something and you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
The difference yeah. between knowing something and understanding something. Because when you know something, you cannot explain it. But when you understand it, you always can explain it. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. they understand the dance. They don't know the dance. They understand the dance. If they're dancing on the street and someone comes and be like, hey, what was that move? They'd be like, oh, this is Gwara Gwara. It's from South Africa. It's an Afrobeat dance. But because they understand the dance, right? Another person mm-hmm. who took my class to just know the dance, they'd be like, oh, I learned this from Isaac's class a few days ago, and I liked it. But what is it called? He said it, but I don't remember it. You know, I just liked it. They know, but they don't understand.
Mm.
That is the way those two people do things. And it looks different between, because the conscience, the mind, and the body are connected to that mm-hmm. thing. So, yeah. And that's basically my idea of basically leaving people with beneficial information.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take it to somewhere. And I know the people that are taking this progressive, they're going to mm-hmm. be my little ambassadors out here.
Yeah,
promoting the good words, spreading the good words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your little ambassadors. I love that. Little yeah. Afrobeat ambassadors.
For sure. Yeah. 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 So, yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love Thank the part you. That you said there about the mind-body connecting. That's a really... an amazing way of putting it, because you're right, it does understanding the history of the dance and really just understanding it adds a new layer to it, to the experience itself. And so you're not just dancing a series of moves, you're dancing the history as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. Tell us about your life, your day-to-day. You know, what kinds of things do you do to relax, or maybe self-care? That's a big thing. How do you take care of yourself or take time to yourself? You know, how do you manage all of the work that you do with your personal life. Just tell us, give us an insight into your life.
Oh, wow. Isaac is a very simple guy. I have
a creative, helpful, obsessed, simple guy. Okay.
Very simple guy. Yeah. I have, apart from dance, because you know the African life. We all have to go to school, you know? Mm-hmm. And you haven't done anything for yourself unless you're a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Or a lawyer.
A lawyer. Yeah. It just, that stayed with me. Because, like, if you rewind when I told you that I wanted to dance, when I went home, I told my mom, hey, you know what? I want to be a dancer. She was like, really? How are you going to do that? She's like, I'm going to be a really good dancer. I'm going to make a lot of money out of it. She's like, you know what? I'm going to help you fulfill your dream. But promise me one thing. You get good grades, I help you be a good dancer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, shake hands. That's a deal. Mm-hmm. We have a deal. Yeah, I went to school, worked really hard, came back and danced a lot. Went back to school, worked really hard, came back, danced a lot. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was the sick. You know how there is an exit national exam in Africa? Mm-hmm. We do a national exam where all this school compete. And everyone is basically graded on a national level. I became second.
Nice. Wow.
Okay. So I had the opportunity to go on a really good school. And then I did like a science major. And spent a lot of time doing that. And when I moved here, I am loyal. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had an agreement with my mom that I'm going to continue school. So I'm still going to be in school. So I'm still in school. I'm trying to be a nurse. And yeah, and to be a nurse is expensive. Mm-hmm. The science school are no jokes. This is college killer. So mm-hmm. I have to make decent money. And studio money are not enough to pay for those kind of schools. So I had to work. So I go to work to try to pay for school. I go to school too. And that's, I'm still dancing. Still dancing. Teaching people how to dance. And not only dance, we create events. We do events, we create some African dance events and stuff like that. To create, try to bring diversity into this Vancouver scene. So yeah, that's the person that I am. I go to work 8 to 4. 8 to 4, come back. If I have school, I go to school, come back. Relax with my fiance, watch TV. And sleep. And she thinks that I don't rest enough.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Okay. She thinks that I don't rest enough, that I do too much. Like, I come to her some days, I'm like, hey, I have this idea of creating this event. Like, what? So let's say, you're teaching, you're going to work, you have school, and you're adding another event. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just have to do these things, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still strong. I'm still young. If I don't mm-hmm. do it now, you know, I have to work now so I can relax later when I retire. Mm-hmm. She gets mad at me, but she understands that we need to, there's things that need to be done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, to be honest, I would say that I don't rest as much as I should do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that I overwork. But, that's how it is, you know, when you look like how we look, you know, as black people, mm-hmm. you need to add that extra 120%. Because mm-hmm. when you do this 100%, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's never enough when you do the 100%. Even though your fellow friends are doing 60 and 80 and you're doing 100, it's not enough. You need to add the 120 mm-hmm. to be able to be appreciated and taken seriously when you look like how we look. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I have to take a moment to sit with that. Wow. Man, it first of all, it's funny and also great that you stuck to the deal you made with your mother. So you continue to go to school, even though maybe you'll never actually work in the nursing field. Maybe you'll just continue dancing and go in that direction. You never know. I mean, my sense is you're probably not going to work as a nurse. You're probably just going to be a dance, you know, because you're mastering dancing. But also, yeah, you've got a lot of your plate and doing a lot of things. And I think what you shared there at the end there about when you look like we do, you know, we have to do 120%, which is kind of a sad point to bring up, because, you know, it shouldn't have to be that way. Just hearing you kind of share that is very interesting to hear. I wonder what, like, how do you deal with that in your life? What role does knowing that play in your life? Like, do you feel like you want to try and change that or help to change that? And if so, what does that look like? It sounds like your reaction to that is, well, I'll just do 120%, because that's the way to go. But I am curious to hear more about how you feel about that.
It's honestly hard, right? To know that sad reality. But I choose love, because I'm not gonna fight back, you know. I'm just gonna gracefully do the things that I know that I can do with love, and hopefully then can start something on the end, you know. Like if I go there let's say we are two choreographers, right? We get hired to perform or to choreograph or something. And my resume speaks for itself. And they're like, hey, we're going to pay you 30% less than that person because, you know, he's white. They don't basically say he's white, but they basically say it in other ways. And you, I don't know, I just, like, when I started, I used to go ahead and do the project anyway. And at the end, they realized that, let's say it's two classes, we're doing a workshop. I'm teaching, let's say, 7:30 until 9, and they're teaching 9 until 11. So you have 1.5 hours or 2 hours together, teaching back to back. Promotion, the posters, the white person is in front of me. I have a little picture that make the highlight, you know, the front page, if that's what you call it, right? But they have to highlight that, you know, the white people comes always first. Classes comes up, and my class is sold out, and they're still trying to sell the front page guy class. You know, he's the front page, he's still struggling to sell the class. My picture was small, people couldn't see it. I sell the class. The video comes out, the energy in my class off the chart. The other person, not so bad, it's okay. They do another one, and everyone is asking, is Isaac coming back? Because I was only there for Isaac, right? So that was the beginning. I would do it in the beginning because I know how hard I work. I'm going to impress. I'm going to bring people in the door. And when you come back next time, I'm going to charge you plus tax of me being black. I call that.
Wait, what?
I have that rule. What? Blackness tax.
I like this.
The actual price class taxing you for me being black.
Oh my god, I like this. I've never heard anybody say this before. I love this. Okay.
They've taken something out of me from being black.
Absolutely.
They have to give me something in return.
Yes.
For being black.
Absolutely.
So if the price is this, there's some extra sum just because I'm black.
That's right. So yeah. Wait, what do you call it? The black, I am black taxed, or mm-hmm. the
mm-hmm. Okay. I am black taxed.
Oh my god, yeah. That's amazing. Okay.
So yeah, so right now, the artist artistically, it's not as bad as on 8-to-4 job, you know, because mm-hmm. artists are very very particular.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can do something and you can tell, and others be downright, you know what I mean? So when mm-hmm. you hire them, you basically delete all his black or his white type of mentality these days, because the talent is there. You just hire the talent. Mm-hmm. It's not the potential, it's the talent is there,
mm-hmm.
right? But on the other jobs, it's the potential, because he's black, he's not smart enough. Because
mm-hmm.
he's black, he's just gonna do the heavy lifting on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's different. It's a bit different because there's no heavy lifting in being an artist and dancing, right? They mm-hmm. just hire you for specific things and they know you're good at it. That's good. That's it. But mm-hmm. other jobs, it's very different. It's very different. It's harder than being an artist, to be honest. So, yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. I have to say, I'm going to be stealing this I am black tax from you, if that's okay. If I can borrow it, I'd like to borrow it.
Yeah, you can borrow it.
Right on. From now on, I will start charging that as well. That's a great add-on fee.
The add-on fee is needed.
It's being
taken from us for generation and generation. So it's time we get it what we deserve.
Exactly. It's only fair. Absolutely. It's brilliant. This is such a genius idea. Now I wish we spent this entire hour with you just sharing your genius ideas, because maybe you have more things like that I think I want to borrow.
We will do another one of those.
That's incredible. That's incredible. That's great. Okay. So this has been an incredible conversation. I appreciate it so much. Before we kind of wrap this up, I'd love to give you the opportunity to just share any final thoughts that you might want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have this event.
Mm-hmm.
Promotion time.
Yes.
You have this event called ADN.
Mm-hmm.
ADN is not the biological term. ADN stands for Afro Dance Night.
Okay.
So after basically bringing diversity into the dance scene, I am looking around and realizing that there's no actual like strictly African dance events mm-hmm. in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my team are trying to create something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And ADN will be basically be our practice ground before the big event.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be like, let's do this small event, learn, you know, make small mistakes and learn from it before we can throw ourselves out there and do something big on a national mm-hmm. level, right?
Yeah.
So ADN is going to be the little series of events. We have four so far.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is called Avec Class.
Okay.
Which is a French word of with class.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is going to be wearing formal. We're talking tuxedos and gown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be basically, the atmosphere is basically, I want to bring something that I used to experience when I was back home.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a little background story, right?
Yeah.
When I moved here, get invited to this party. You know, my friends are dancers. We go to this party, and I'm expecting to dance all night. You know,
mm-hmm.
put on my dancing shoes, wearing this, you know, comfortable outfit so I can mm-hmm. dance all night. I'm ready to go. Get there, the food is there, the drinks are there, the music is playing, but everyone is talking about weather and how they had a long weekend, and I'm like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Let's dance, people. We are dancers. Dance. No, they're just talking, man. It's basically a party is an opportunity to relax,
mm-hmm.
to, what do you call it, to chat.
Yeah.
To know about people's life.
Mm-hmm.
But for us African people, party means party. Mm-hmm. We mean business. We dance till the sun comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You literally get home and your body is hurting because of how you are dancing and how you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of like environment we're trying to bring back and to bring here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll be growing formal, we'll be in class, and it's going to be on September 19th. That's our first event.
Nice.
Our
nice.
Second event is going to be on Halloween, October 31st. And you know, nice. Dress code, costumes.
Yeah.
The third one is going to be all white.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in November 28th. And the last one of the series is going to be on New Year's Eve, where you can wear anything you want and just enjoy the end of the year.
Nice.
Yeah, we're organizing it at this new restaurant called Ada. He just opened. A good friend of mine is opening a restaurant. It's going to be a good way to basically promote him. It's going to be a lot of mm-hmm. food, a lot of yeah. drinks, a good atmosphere. Yeah. And then, yeah, if you've heard, there's a theme of outfit that's going there, which means that we're going to be awarding people that dress nice.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be awarding people that dance, you know, people that can dance, you know, that mm-hmm. person that is killing the dance floor all night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have sponsors like dance studios, even the others, restaurant owners too, like gift cards, basically.
Nice.
Award those people that make the night nice, make the environment you experience. Like, you can go to a party and have mm-hmm. a good time just because of the person that is there. That
yeah,
is
exactly.
creating the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Those people need to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's beautiful.
That's what's coming up.
Right on. And so people, go ahead. I was just going to say, so people better take your classes so they can be ready for these dance nights.
Absolutely. And there's another thing. There's people that like to social dancing. They're mm-hmm. not class material.
Yeah.
And that's most Black people, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Most Black people don't like taking dance classes.
Mm-hmm.
They just like to hear music and just groove.
And just move, yeah.
And that's an opportunity for us and me to meet those Black fellows, brothers mm-hmm. and sisters that are afraid to come to a dance class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also an opportunity to these people that take my classes to see it done on a social platform. You know, like mm-hmm. dancing in a studio is different than dancing at a party.
Absolutely.
The way you do the move in a party is different than the way you do it in a dance class, right? Mm-hmm. I want them to experience both worlds, class and social.
Mm-hmm.
And Afrobeat is made for social dancing, not class. We tried to make it class, tried to change it here and there, but it's actually made for social dancing, for parties.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Izo Dream Chaser. African Dance Night, September 19th or 18th. One of those is what you said, I think.
September 19th, yes.
19th, that's
really, really soon.
Oh, that's very soon. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you for this wonderful conversation. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you'll come back and give us some more of those brilliant ideas. Because it seems like you're kind of a genius. I didn't know. Yeah, I mean, if I had known that at the beginning, I would have tried to extract genius ideas out of you. But, you know, one is good enough for today. I'm happy with the one. The black tax is a good one.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Gab. I appreciate you and I appreciate what you're doing. This gives us a voice. We get to talk about these things that we don't normally talk, you know? We don't normally say.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go around telling people how I'm taxing people for being Black and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
this is
a good platform, a good way to basically let people know what's in your mind and your thoughts and stuff like that. And you're making it possible. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. Right back at you. Yeah, hopefully we'll have you again as a guest, and just wishing you a blessed weekend. And for everyone that's out there, hopefully we'll see you at the African Dance Night.
For sure. You take care. Bye-bye.
And that was another episode with Izo Dream Chaser. I in hindsight, I really, really wish I had known that I could come away from this conversation with just really, really helpful, useful, practical, and totally reasonable things to do, like the I Am Black tax. I mean, I'm still not over it. I think that is just brilliant. And now, you know, if I had known that I would discover something like that in hindsight, I would have made this entire conversation, about just one objective and one objective only, is what are all the brilliant ideas that Isaac has to share? Because I'm sure some of you out there listening are thinking the same thing I'm thinking, and definitely appreciating that. Anyway, that was a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Isaac. I hope you're going to be at one of those African dance nights, or at the very least, you know, go check out some of his videos out on the internet or some of those dance classes. I personally love dancing and don't think I'm any good at it, but dance classes, I know, are a wonderful opportunity to actually learn how to do it, to get better at it, just get out of your comfort zone, just to have fun, and expose yourself to something new. And it sounds like Isaac, as well as some other folks in the city, are making dancing, you know, a little more than just dancing, you know, because Isaac is offering more than just dancing. There's also learning things that are important and interesting, and those learning opportunities actually help you connect with the dance more. So all of that is to say, go check them out. All of the info is in the description. Thank you for tuning in. Of course, as always, please share, like, leave a little review, do all that stuff. And if you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest for an episode on this podcast, let me know. Just holler at me. Anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you, and catch you later.